This is Romance Watson welcoming you to another session of Software Monetization with Mark Schroeder. Today we are speaking with Derek Britton of Microfocus. Derek Britton is a 1991 honors graduate in computer science from De Montfort University. Derek's career path has enabled him to establish himself as an accomplished IT go-to market practitioner. He has worked in a variety of program management, software engineering, and product management positions in the IT industry over the last two decades. Derek was Senior Director of Product Management at Microfocus until February 2009, when he moved to the Microfocus Professional Services Organization, where he now works in the Program Management Office. Take this opportunity to learn more about legacy modernization with Microfocus. Here is your host, Mark Schroeder, as he interviews Derek Britton.
How much of the old system do you need to save when you start planning?
The basic question is, where do you stand today? Where is your business and what do you need to do because of it? The economy is shrinking. If your organization is struggling, your IT is also going to be suffering too. And it's then a case of the gravity of that situation will dictate very, very clearly what your strategy needs to look like. And it's probably about saving money.
Right. So the first part you have to do in the whole modernization process is determine where you're at right now.
Yeah, determine the level of risk that you're facing. And also look at your books today. Not look at IT. Just look at your books and say, well, where's our spend going? What's it yielding? You consider that 80% of all IT expenditure is just lights on business. Not pushing forward, not innovating, not doing anything new, just keeping the thing running. And, you know, that's a fairly constant statistic across the industry, no matter what size, no matter what vertical. And so if $4 out of $5 are being spent on just keeping the lights on, you know, if you need to save money dramatically, you know that could potentially hurt you. So you need to think about how you're going to be very, very clever about your investment.
And when you're looking at your system and trying to decide how to move over or modernize, why don't you just start over and developing a new system versus looking at some other options?
It's very easy, and it's perhaps a natural reaction to think about throwing old stuff away, you know, blaming the design or the system or technical choices or even a previous incumbent for the horrible cost that you face. But think about the cost of any overhaul or of any rewrite or replacement. And that's a significant investment. And think about where that gets you. I mean, does it actually improve operations significantly? Well, not really. What you're actually doing is moving pretty fast to stand still. You're not actually getting a net gain. You're just replacing old with new. So, and does it introduce risk? I'm afraid it does, because how do you know the new system is going to do everything the old one did? And of course, will the users be affected? Will they be delighted? It's unlikely that they will be throwing a party because of the change. It's unlikely that a replacement is going to do anything profoundly valuable to your business. And for sure, the cost will definitely be significant. So you're investing massively in the hope that there may be some return down line, betting on the future again. Of course, the option to do nothing also exists. We have to be clear on that. But in this day and age, is it acceptable for your organization to bury its head in the sand and say, no, we'll solve this problem tomorrow?
In order to make your IT organization pay off and be successful for your company, what are the real options that you can look at?
Well, there are a number of options that you need to consider. And making IT pay is, as those words suggest, it's all about looking at getting the most instantaneous return on your investment. I talked previously about the inherent cost of certain options, the inherent cost of rewriting or replacing. The CIO's challenge, I think, is to find the change programs that will yield an instant return that really move the needle in terms of cost and value. So the start point is the acceptance that there is already tremendous value in the systems you already own. And from that start point, that's where you can get some enlightened thinking going forward. these are the systems that oftentimes have been built over decades to support how the business runs. And as such, they possess the intellectual property or the uniqueness unique to that organization that is also highly valued. The challenge is how to unlock that goodness, how to unlock that value and exploit it while taking away the unnecessary cost, redundancy, bottlenecks or inefficiencies that, you know, frankly, day by day are complained about by your users or your sysprogs or whoever it may be. And we believe that the only true source of truth about those systems is the systems themselves. So by taking a view of what those systems cover, what they contain, what they do for you, getting a true picture of what needs to happen will start to emerge. So no matter what your strategy, task one is really to look at what's there. Look at what you currently own, what you currently preside over, and look at how that's bringing you value today. And that will help you focus in on what you want to take forward into the future. So, you know, I would look at it like this. If you don't know where you are, how do you know how to best get where you're going? And that's kind of the philosophy we're trying to suggest here.
So that's the first step, is figuring out where you are now. Then once you sort of have an idea, what are the choices you have to go forward with?
Okay, well, I've already mentioned a couple of them, but I want to just reiterate it so it's absolutely clear. I think there are really four choices. I'm going to start with the one that you can discount the most readily, and that is doing nothing. Now is not the time to do nothing. Now is the time to be proactive, get ahead of the wave, and figure out how you're going to solve a really major operational challenge that you have today and solve it once and for all. The economy and your shareholders or your business owners demand that you are able to think that way. So let's talk about the three possibilities. Any modernization of any major system, you know, any overhaul requires significant change, and each of these three are significant changes. The first one is to talk about replacing the system in its entirety. It may be that system was an off-the-shelf package. It may have been homegrown. But either way, you can replace it with a fresh package that purports to replicate or supersede the functionality that your old system had. Now, there are a number of potential obstacles to that. And the big question is, do you know what this new package is actually going to do, and perhaps more worryingly and less clearly defined, do you know what your current package does in terms of its functionality? You may think you know, but can you actually list all of the functions it provides, and can you perform the gap analysis between old and new so that you're satisfied that the new system will do what you need? And I'm afraid to say 80% of the time, yes, it's fine, but that remaining 20% of functionality that you've missed, that you've overlooked, that's where the cost lies, and to tailor or to write bespoke updates to any new package is a hugely costly exercise. And there are organizations who have really built their success on being packages that then need to be tailored by consultants once they've been implemented. Similarly, the rewrite option presents a number of challenges. Probably the best way to articulate the challenge is to talk about the Chaos Report, which is authored by the Standish Group, which talks about the number of rewrite projects that are either late, over budget, or just outright failures, never delivered. And the statistic is staggeringly high. What you're basically saying is, you know, at any given point, however many projects are running, up to half of them are never going to be delivered or are never going to achieve their business goal. And so rewrite doesn't exactly fill anyone with confidence. You're introducing far too much risk into the business when, like I said earlier, ostensibly you're not actually getting any value. You are just replacing one system with another one. So the fourth option is the concept of restore, the concept of replatforming so that you are taking the system to a new environment and taking the cost out of that environment as part of that move. So you're not replacing, you're not rewriting, you're not ripping anything out. All you're doing is eradicating the cost burden of the existing infrastructure. And it's as simple as that. I mean, the basic premise is it's a very, very simple thing to do. Our technology allows for that to happen, but importantly, the concept is a very straightforward one. Take your existing system and move it to a place where it's cheaper to run.
So you're talking about basically using your same system and then having a new way to run it and then a new front end basically to it. Is that correct?
It's not just a new front end, Mark, although you may well be looking at replacing the front end because you have the option to do so. But more importantly than that, and this is where the costs really lie, the physical production environment of your existing system, where it's running today on a high-end server environment, such as a mainframe, that's where the costs are. Your annual lease costs, your annual software costs, your annual hardware costs, if they're different from a lease, that's where all of your IT expenditure goes. That's the big buck items. And what we're basically saying there is you don't need that infrastructure. You don't need a mainframe to run a mainframe application. In fact, you can run that application on the PC sat on your desk. We'll happily run many mainframe applications. We're able to say that because many vendors in the market, and Micro Focus included, provide capability and technology that allow you to take mainframe applications largely untouched and run them in a distributed environment. So it's actually the production system that you're rehosting, not just the front end.
So now in the whole process of moving from your old system to the newer system, how does rationalization fit into that in your process?
Well, it's an important thing to introduce at this stage, because what we've just suggested there is one of the options of modernization is about rehosting. And of course, that is a very, very strong candidate. The thing we want to introduce here at this stage is that it may be that the first thing you need to do, once you've understood what your systems are doing for you, is to look more selectively at those individual applications, at those individual systems, and decide which of them you need to take forward. Decide which of them you need to rationalize, by which we mean, well, what's fit for purpose? What's giving you the best bang for your buck? But what, conversely, needs to be considered as an alternative process, or what we looked at for, as a possible candidate for retirement? Not all systems are as good as each other, and not all applications are suitable to be taken forward into your brave new world. So, you know, what we're saying here is before you rehost everything, before you take everything down to a new environment, before you consider a sort of whole-scale migration, let's look keenly and insightfully at what those systems are doing for you today, and maybe look to actually, you know, rationalizing, filtering down the amount of infrastructure that you want to take forward. And it's really no more than that.
So now you've sort of decided you need to do something, you think rehosting might be a good option, or there's some other options out there. What are the different options that you could look at for your modernization of your application?
And I think this is where the rubber really hits the road. This is where the key decision point is reached. And it's important to go back to first principles, which is, why are we in this position in the first place? Why are we looking to make these draconian changes? What forces us to think in this way? And really, for us, it's a case of, well, what were the business challenges that we were facing? Why did the board get together and say we need to cut costs or we need to do something different? And that shapes your view on the world, and that gives you usually a guiding light towards what your preferred modernization option will be. And really, there are only two clear options. You either want to be able to perform or to undertake a dramatic what we would call transformational improvement, So a sudden big bang, quick win exercise that will machete the unnecessary costs out of your business as quickly as possible and allow you to move forward and innovate into the future. Or you are able to allow yourself a more considered evolutionary approach that we would call continuous evolution, which is a kind of like a programmatic view of incremental changes, that each of which add value to the business as you move forward. And I think, you know, that's they're two sides of the same coin. You do want to move forward quickly. The fundamental question is, how much money can you put up straight away to invest in those changes, and how much money you need to save instantly? And so it's really a question of operating budget. It's really a question of the emphasis and the size of the change that you want to make, and in what steps. So that's the question you need to ask yourself.
So as you do your transformation or evolution of your system, where does the user experience fit in? I mean, you want to make sure your users can feel comfortable with the system.
That's right, absolutely. And they are often forgotten in big system changes. And I think it's a mistake not to have the user group as one of the key stakeholders in the decision making process. And we would always countenance that. So the question about the user experience really is another thing that may shape your modernization approach. And so we're talking here about, you know, question marking whether the evolution you want to take forward is about people or is it about processes. And again, your existing sort of challenges, your operational challenges, may shed a light on exactly, you know, what the causes of your challenges may be. So let's take a look at that. So many problems manifest themselves in the eyes of the user community first. So they're not system downtime. They are not necessarily performance benchmarks that you're running. These are things that your just rank and file users are witnessing before your system guys are. So poor operational processes, maybe irksome user interfaces, maybe just different applications presenting themselves differently to different users, which make them difficult to use, they all create the opportunity for error and for delay. I mean, a question to the audience: how many of us have been put on hold at a call center while the operator clicks furiously? You can hear them bashing their mouse on the desk on the other end of the phone to access some unrelated function that you've asked them to find. The sad fact of life is these improvements are easily implemented in most cases, and the opportunity for improvement is vast, provided you are able to take the right perspectives and the right view on changing the user experience. We have a customer called Wells Fargo. They took this approach and now process a third more claims per day, thanks to a fix that took less than a month to implement. And, you know, for a company that size, a third more claims processes a day is a very welcome addition to the bottom line. So by looking really at the user experience and saying, so how can we make their lives easier? We can allow technology to really improve the way they work and make significant improvements as part of the evolution.
The user is so important, and often, like you said, they are left out, and it's the IT people that are sitting up there making decisions on what is needed. It doesn't always work when you do that.
It doesn't always work, no, you're right.
You're starting on a project now. Can you explain to me how the analysis may be different, or what are the items you're trying to analyze in a modernization project?
Yes, well, once we've decided that our users can be satisfied with a couple of changes that, as we've just discussed, and we're looking now more about, less about the people side, more about the process and how systems are taken to market, how systems are delivered by our organization. And before we sort of try and focus in on any particular area that we want to improve, we need to look again, fairly holistically at the overall process, the overall development life cycle, if you will. And analysis is the place to do that. So if the issue is less about users, more about systems, it's tempting to jump in with a, oh, well, I know what we need to do. We need to do this. So much of the current portfolio is consumed in existing processes. So it may be dangerous to make too many assumptions before you know the full story. So we advocate taking stock, just as you did before you came up with your modernization strategy. Take an inventory of those systems, start to build a true picture of your landscape. Our old friend Phil Murphy, the analyst at Forrester, he calls systems code the single source of truth for the application. The only thing that will tell you what the application does is the application itself. And by managing your portfolio through a more detailed examination, a line-by-line examination, you can identify bottlenecks, redundancies, duplication, errors, but also those systems that you want to continue to invest in and support, those with true value and real potential. Another of our clients, the international bank HSBC, they used the concept that we refer to as application portfolio management to move from the point where they were spending a staggering 90% of their IT expenditure on lights on projects, just keeping the business running, and only 10% on innovation. They were able to change that statistic to the point where they were innovating to the tune of 40% of their investments, just by more effectively managing the systems they owned and choosing more selectively the projects they undertook. And it's a staggering improvement, 300% improvement in innovation. Again, that's a real opportunity there to reach out to new customers and new markets through new products. Remember, in financial services, the IT is effectively the product because it's how the user interfaces with the bank. So that was a significant achievement in a very short space of time.
Then after the analysis, obviously we come to the development phase. Are there differences that you look at in development of a modernization project?
Sure. It may well be that the problems identified are clearly within the realms of, you know, the process of how the systems are built, so how they're developed. We would refer to that as the software development lifecycle. Typically, that's a while it will vary from shop to shop. It will follow a standard practice, a standard project management kind of discipline. And of course, the product in this case is as a piece of working or tested software. However, what we do find is that, once again, processes are not streamlined, not as smooth as they could be. And certainly some of the tooling used to facilitate those processes is antiquated or not fit for purpose or just doesn't integrate well. So improvements in the inappropriate tooling provide better unit testing, better quality, even faster compilations, can yield in excess of 33% improvements, there or thereabouts. We have another banking client, the Royal Bank of Scotland here in the UK. They invested in process improvements in their SDLC. They were able to gain 30% productivity benefits. And to make that figure more real, they measured it as each coder, so every single guy in the programming team, was more productive to the tune of 30 days a year. So that's 6 weeks. So imagine if everyone could work 6 weeks smarter per year, and that's the improvement they realized. And there are a number of other clients who have yielded much the same kind of benefit. And that really adds a significant benefit on how they're building IT.
And then finally, we come to testing. You mentioned something about new tooling for testing. I'm sure that, you know, in a modernization project, you're affecting pretty much the whole system. So somehow you've got to test that all.
Oh, you bet. And there would be no self-respecting client would ever go ahead on such a, you know, a huge undertaking as a system-wide modernization without being very clear on what their test strategy was going to be. that testing is how you mitigate risk. Testing is how you gain confidence. Testing is how you achieve user acceptance at the end of the day. So it's absolutely vital that we have a clear and well-defined testing process that's rigorous and comprehensive. That all said, the testing cycle is often either overlooked or misunderstood, and organizations struggle to come to terms with the huge, typically back-end investment of resources consumed in testing the systems prior to go live. And that's often what we find is the testing process. You know, they throw as many people as they can at testing immediately prior to the release of the system. And that's not necessarily the smartest way to do it. Many of these processes that are involved, they're manual, they're sporadic, they're unscientific. The test data is inappropriate. It's perhaps not even compliant with security procedure. So, you know, we believe improvements could be made by moving to a more holistic view, which starts with requirements. It doesn't start with a test plan. It starts with understanding the requirements of the change. And in a modernization project, obviously you're talking about a fairly wide-ranging and comprehensive set of requirements. And it's our belief that they need to be managed and controlled right from the word go. So the project planning phase is where the testing starts, because that's where the requirements are truly captured. And then this way, there is a measurable, auditable, and quantifiable process from start to finish to support testing. So what we're saying there is that once the requirements are defined, they can then effectively be used to develop use cases or usage scenarios, which then can be developed towards test cases and then automated in a way that, you know, they can be fed into the final back-end testing process. And because of the automation and because of the control and the visibility, the end of cycle backlog, you know, that huge investment at the back end, can be reduced. Because we know what test cases we need to run, it can be automated and scientifically controlled, and therefore there's more predictability in the test cycles, things get done quicker, and the real test cases that were baked into the whole design process are used as the basis for acceptance testing and user sign-off. And it sounds almost too good to be true, talk about it so simplistically, but our figures tell us this is true. Lucent Technologies, the software guys, they saved 98%, say that again, 98% of their testing effort, and actually improved the quality of the product that they released by using the microfocus process. And it really is as straightforward as saying, if you define your requirements up front, you can build test cases from that, and then that will fuel and that will fund your testing process. And no longer do you have to frantically scramble, as I think they were using as a term, they were frantically scrambling to get testing done simply because they didn't know what testing had to be run.
Okay. Well, 98%, that's a outstanding achievement.
It is quite outstanding. You're in the realms of, you know, you're outside the realms of feasibility, actually. It sounds too good to be true.
Right.
Ask yourself the question, when I test something, how do I test it? And 9 times out of 10, the answer isn't a good one. The answer is usually, well, I kind of guess what I might need to test. And because I'm not sure, I'll test it again and again and again and again. And actually, you're just duplicating effort that's wholly unnecessary.
We've had a good chat today talking about, you know, how to decide a direction to go in a modernization project, all the way through how to do the analysis and development and testing. What are some of the things that Microfocus has to help a company with all this stuff?
Well, as I think a couple of my answers have intimated, Microfocus believes it sits full square in this space. We believe we are uniquely positioned as the modernization company. We believe we're better placed to help you modernize and transform the assets that run your business today than any other organization. And I guess a couple of things are worth worth pointing out. First of all, the number of customers who basically reinforced our story through, you know, through the successes they've achieved with our technology, you know, to us at least suggests that we're definitely on the right track. One customer I didn't mention who used many of our modernization tools throughout a fairly exacting migration exercise that they went through is the medical supplies people, Owens and Minor. And they netted all this out as a 70% operating cost saving. So 70% of their entire IT budget was saved using Micro Focus technology, which is, again, a almost unfathomably large saving on the bottom line. So, you know, and these are guys that are quite willing to share their experiences with, you know, with the wider community, with our prospects. And you know, I would hope that it's for those reasons that, that Micro Focus are worth a second look. My second point is that not only are we dedicated to customer success, but we're also dedicated to plowing as much as we can back into investment for our products going forward. And I guess the most recent example of that is that as a result of customer demand, as a result of the growing market, within the last 12 months, Micro Focus has acquired both the testing division of CompuWare and the entire Borland organization, both of whom were, you know, really strong market players in the testing space. So through those acquisitions, Micro Focus has effectively automatically emerged as, you know, one of the vendors in the testing space, and added to our existing modernization capabilities, which are largely speaking unparalleled in the market. We now believe that we are the application modernization and management company for the Global 2000. And, you know, we look forward to working with all of our prospects and customers going forward.
And I'm sure that you have the capability of working with large companies as well as small companies and adjusting your products and process to their needs.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, as I think I've already mentioned, there is no such thing as a cookie cutter approach in terms of what the customer's trying to do. Requirements are shaped by scale, by size, by technology footprint, by business requirement, and by the general economy as well. So no matter who you are or where you are or what you're trying to achieve, the breadth of our solution and, you know, the robustness of them, we believe we can still have a large part to play in your success.
What's the best way for someone to contact your organization?
Well, for anyone who is not an existing Micro Focus customer, please, by all means, go to our website, www.microfocus.com. You'll see a description of many of the solutions I've touched on this morning. There'll also be contact information, and we have offices in something like 25 countries globally, and then we have distributors elsewhere. But certainly in North America, Canada, and the whole of the Western Europe, we have local regional offices, and one of our people will get in touch and to take the conversation forward.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. Is there anything you'd like to say before we close and wrap it up for the day?
Well, just to say thanks for the opportunity to speak today, Mark. Thank you very much indeed. And of course, if there is any feedback to this interview, then I'll happily take follow-up questions through your website.
All right, Derek. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for joining us for another session of Software Modernization. Please be sure to check back often to find more interviews and additional resources. Our goal is to build a warehouse of information on software application modernization. For more information on software modernization and how you can subscribe to our free services, please visit us at www.softwaremodernization.com. We are always looking for experts in software modernization who are interested in sharing knowledge on this subject. If you are an expert and want to be interviewed by Mark, please visit softwaremodernization.com and click on the interview link.